Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, January 11th, or Yud Bet Teves. This is the Women's Mishnah Shir. We are beginning the second parak of Masechet Brachot. The Mishnah says, and we're going to see the first line of the Mishnah, and then immediately the Gemara, which focuses exclusively on the first line, and is a fascinating issue. Haya korei b'chora, v'higia zman ha-mikra, in tivein libo yatsa. This is talking about a situation where there is no such thing as a printing press. So if somebody wanted to read a pasuk, wanted to learn Chumash, he had to open up a Torah scroll. So this person was reading the Torah because he happened to be reading the Torah. And lo and behold, he arrives at Parshat Vo'et Chanan, Shishi of Parshat Vo'et Chanan, and he's up to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's where he's up to. He's reading the Parsha of Shema. But his initial opening of the Chumash was not to fulfill the mitzvah of the Shema, but rather just to read. He's practicing, he's learning, whatever it is. So the Mishnah says, Im Kivein Libo, if he has Kavanah, Yatsa, he is Yotze the Mitzvah. In Tivein Libo, Yatsa. If he had Kavanah to be Yotze the Mitzvah, he is Yotze. Inference, if he doesn't have Kavanah to be Yotze, he is not Yotze the Mitzvah of reading the Shema. So, what Kavanah would you think the Mishnah is talking about? Again, here is the case. A guy goes to the Aron HaKodesh, takes out a Sefer Torah. There is no such thing as a printed book anyplace. He wants to learn. So he opens up his Chumash. It happens to be opened up near Parshat Va'et Chanan, where the Torah text of Shema is. So he reads the Psukim. As he comes to it, it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And it happens to be Zman Kriyasma, the time for which you are obligated to read the Shema. So let's assume it would be 7 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, when it's perfectly okay to fulfill the Shema. So the Mishnah says, if he has in mind, in Tivein Libo, Yatsa, he would fulfill the Mitzvah. Inference, in Lo Tivein Libo, Lo Yatsa. So I ask you, ladies and ladies, what Kavana should be in this airhead's mind? What? That he's doing what? That he's saying the Shema or knows the Shema? So when you say the Shema, you have to have in mind to be reading it at the right time? To fulfill a mitzvah. You have to, that would be the simple inference. That the mere fact that you do something which happens to constitute a mitzvah is insufficient. You have to be aware of the fact that you are doing something for the purpose of discharging your responsibility. That I'm not just haphazardly doing it, but I'm doing it for the mitzvah. No, well, this should be in theory for everything. That's what the Gemara is going to approach. So now the Mishnah would say it's right. As I am reading the Torah scroll, and I'm up to the word Shema Yisrael, so if I happen to have in mind, I'm going to be Mekai in the Mitzvah of Shema, and I read it, then I'm Yotzei the Mitzvah. But if I did not, all I was doing is practicing the laying, because I'm going to read in 3 weeks, I'm going to read the Balkorei and read parts of Torah time. So I'm reading Shema Yisrael, right? But who cares? But I didn't have in mind to be Yotzei the Shema. So I will have read it and not been the kind of a mitzvah. That would be a simple reading of the Mishnah. that the only way to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shema is to have in mind that I am going to fulfill the mitzvah at the time. Yes.
But what about when someone is
traveling
and they want one,
and I think
specifically
I'm fulfilling. Okay. So let's see. Let's see what's going to happen. Yeah.
When you say
the Shema there,
you. But you think you're going to be on time for
the Shema. So that's a different issue. Let's assume you think you're going to be on time, but you may not be. So you can have in mind on condition, tonight. If I'm going to make Zman Kriya Shema, I don't want this one to count. I want the later one to count. But if I'm not going to be make Zman Kriya Shema, I want this one. That's the end of it. So go now right away, to the next page for a moment. As I said, the second part of the Mishnah has nothing to do with this line. So tonight we're going to focus on this line of the Mishnah, and that's it. Now the Gemara says, Shema Mina, we can derive from here, Mitzvot, Srichot, Kavana. There is a titanic debate whether or not any mitzvah which you perform must you have kavana at the time when you are doing it, that you're doing it for the mitzvah. Must you be aware of the fact that at the time you're doing it for the mitzvah? Some authorities say yes. You have to be mentally alert and aware of the fact that I'm doing it. Others say no. The mere fact that you are doing it is suffice. By the mere fact that the rabbis have introduced a bracha to be recited prior to the mitzvah, which position do you think have they taken? That you need kavanah. That's why they want us to make a bracha. So that before you do anything, you should be aware of what I'm doing. If you say, Baruch atah Hashem, asher shenishkan v'nitzvotah, Vitzivano, I'll make Ramadila. Vitzivano, I'll have Mishneh Shochanukah. Vitzivano, whatever, let's say Vatukah, if you realize that what I'm doing is for the purpose of a Mishnah. So this particular Mishnah should support that premise. That in order to be Mekayim any Mishnah, Mitzvot, Srichot, Kavanah. And this might prove to be a little problem for many of us who just, you know, read the davening, and we don't think, when you get up to Shemot Esrei, are you aware of the fact that you're doing it to discharge a biblical responsibility of prayer according to the Rambam? We don't always think that. Don't always think it. But when you do so, according to this Mishnah, when you come to Pesach at night, not just devour a kazayis of matzah, be aware of the fact that I'm doing it l'shem mitzvah. So this Mishnah would support it. That's the Gemara's state. Shema mina, we should prove from here mitzvot srichot kavanah. The Gemara rejects it. No, you can't prove anything from this Mishnah. What do you mean you can't prove? What does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah say? In kivein libo. Says the Gemara, my intivein libo, mikrot. What the Mishnah has in mind, that you should have in mind, is not in mind to be yotzei the mitzvah, but in mind to read. You should have in mind to read. Ask the Gemara, mikrot. What do you mean to have in mind to read? Vahakakari, he's reading. What does the word, what is the case that we're talking about? Haya Kovei Batorah. Somebody was reading the Torah. So how could he not have in mind to read if he is reading? So what are you playing games with me? Obviously the word Kivain can't refer to what? To what? To have in mind to read. Which is obviously reading. Answer to Gemara, no. Bikorei Lahagia. He was not reading it as any person would be reading. He was reading the Torah to check the text to make sure there are no mistakes in the Torah. Namely, he wants to make sure that on Shabbos morning nobody in the shul will use their eyes and say, ah, the pasuk says this way. So this guy's responsibility is to check every time during the week for whatever portion they're going to read, that every letter is written properly, that it's not a race. And that happens sometimes. Sometimes, right now, over time, that the letters crack. Don't forget, the ink is dried on top of the parchment that's sent into the parchment. It's written on top, and sometimes a guy takes his talus and he rubs it very hard on it, and it erases the ink. There's no doubt about it. Or it's moist, and there's moisture that gets on it, and it just starts, smudging. It happens. Sometimes there are mistakes. The guy who wrote it made a mistake. And it's unbelievable. Sometimes you can have, if there's six times been used for 60 years, and the Baal Kari never caught it, because he never looked inside. He was reading it by heart. And he didn't know. So this guy takes out the Sefer Kari, and he looks. Shema Yisrael. Just making sure every letter is there. Is his intention to read? No. And now the Mishnah says, now the Gemara says, you know what the Mishnah has in mind in Kiven Libo? You know what the Mishnah has in mind? To read. What do you mean to read? Of course you read. It means that you at least have to want to read. Not simply to examine each letter, whether each letter is there, and so on and so forth. That's not called reading. So as long as you open up the text and decide, you're reading it, then you are Yotze the Mitzvah. Despite the fact that what did I did not have in mind? Kavana to be Yotze the Mitzvah. I did not have Kavana to be Yotze the Mitzvah. So again, the Mishnah uses an expression in Kivein Libo. The Gemara thinks that the phrase in Kivein Libo will be used to what type of kavana? A much more sophisticated type of kavana. Namely, that you have to have in mind to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. In which case, the Gemara says, Shema Minam Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana. I should be able to prove from this case that every single mitzvah I say, in order to get credit for that mitzvah, you have to have in mind to be Mitzvah in the Mitzvah. Does the Gemara know? You can't prove anything from this Mishnah about any other case. Because what is the case talking about? He was just reading it, just moving his lips to see if the letters were there. He wasn't really reading. It says share, you have to share some memma. Just reading it just to make sure that each letter was there. That's the Mishnah, that's not called reading. What must he do in order to fulfill the Mishnah? He must read. But there is no necessity to go one step above and beyond that. That in addition to reading the text, what else must you have? Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. That you don't have to have. Kavana to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, you don't have to have. In which case, when you're talking about eating a piece of matzah, you're not reading anything. Is there any kavana that you have to have whatsoever? Zero. When you're lighting candles on Friday night, any kavana you have? No. It's only by reading you at least have intention to read and not have in mind something else, not doing some other activity. Yes? That's a different issue. We will learn in the second paragraph on the next Talmud as to whether or not there's a level of comprehension. That's a different question. We'll see. It'll be interpreting the word Shema. What does the word Shema mean? To hear or to understand? Okay, that's a different discussion. Now, it is possible, Rabotai, that there is another way to interpret this Mishnah. I could have gone a different route and said that the word in Kivein Libo has nothing to do with the mitzvah of what? Being to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of reading the Shema, nor using this, I don't want to say not very sophisticated explanation, that the word kivein means what? That I had intention to read. That would be obvious. There is something about the mitzvah of Shema
which very few other mitzvot have. Correct. Namely, that when the Mishnah said, in Kivayin Bo, I could easily have said that this Mishnah is not addressing whether or not I should have in mind to be Yotzei the Mitzvah, but it's because Shema is a very unusual example. And let me give you the criteria, what we call the abstract categories, in order to define. Every mitzvah, this is part of Rav Chaim's terminology, the Rav's grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, he introduced certain terminology which is now floating around in the air pollution of everyday medrash on the planet. Before Rav Chaim, people didn't use that lingo. He said that every mitzvah is divided, has two parts, the maaser and the kiyum, the activity and the essence to fulfill. In 90% of mitzvot, it's exactly the same. 90% of mitzvot. The ma'aseh of achilas ma'aseh is either desire to not. The kiyum of mitzvah is either desire to not. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to eat a desire to matzah, that's the way you fulfill it, and that's the essence of the mitzvah. That's most mitzvot. There are a handful of mitzvot where the ma'aseh is A and the kiyum is B. Krishna is the grand example of it. The ma'aseh is reading the parshiyot. Just reading the text. But is that the essence of the mitzvah of Shema, just to read three paragraphs? No. That's what it's saying. What you're doing by the reading of these paragraphs. That's called the Tiyamah. I'll give you another example. Avelut. Simcha has this dichotomy. What is the ma'aseh of an office? What are the mitzvah of it? Sit on the floor, don't wear shoes, wear a ripped shirt. What's the kiyum avelu? To feel distraught. To feel the sense of loss. That belays an internal feeling. So if somebody has a loss, his father died, and he sits there just like the Gospel today. He sits there on the floor and he rips the garments and everything. And he couldn't care less that his father died. It didn't bother his friend. It didn't bother him. In fact, he's delighted. He inherited $1 million from his father. Heaven doesn't care. Delighted. All that. Hassled him his whole life. He has not fulfilled the mission of others. Despite the fact that he did everything on a technical nature, because the kiyum avelus is to be what? Is to be distraught, is to feel a sense of loss. Correct, it's a way to trigger it. Same thing is true in relationship to simcha. The idea of simcha is what's the kiyum? Is to recognize that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today's a special day. I have an opportunity to get a little closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what real simcha is. Because every single time that the Torah uses the word simcha, it's with Mei Hashem Elokecha. The Samachta, with Mei Hashem Elokecha. Every single time, without fail. And the halacha knows that in order to make you happy, and to be aware of the fact that this is a special occasion, it requires some stimuli. Eat a good meal, buy your wife jewelry. That's what the man said. Hubby should buy his wife jewelry. Clothing and jewelry, she said. Rama says both of us. Give kids candies, goodies, sweets. Rama writes that. No. And for you, for the hubby, have a good stay. That's the day. Hey, I feel I was busted in the eye. For the guy, have a little wine and a good stay. Fine.
but the purpose is not the devouring of meat. The purpose is not the consumption of wine. The purpose is to recognize that this is a special day, a special event, and I have a chance to feel closer to our Mishmar. That's appeal. See it. So if a guy goes ahead on Purim, and he eats a lot, and he drinks a lot, and he doesn't take advantage of what Simcha really understands, he should drink 9 gallons of wine. I guarantee he will not be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkot Purim. Well, not. Because that's not the purpose of it. Therefore, it is possible to suggest that our Mishnah is talking about something else completely and has no bearing, no relationship whatsoever on any other Mitzvah. So what does the Mishnah now say? Hiya Korei Batoma in Tivei Livo. What does in Tivei Livo mean? It has the right Kavanah. She will be in the Kavan Olaf with Shemai. Not just reading the text, Shemai Yisrael Hashem 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 Hashem. Then you'd be okay to mix it. But if you read the text without reading the Kavan Olaf with Shemai, then you read the text. If you're not the kind of Mr. Freer. Yeah.
Correct. If you believe that you don't need kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah,
But I could have been doing it without being aware of the fact that this represents a biblical commandment, and right now I'm discharging that responsibility. You can walk into a circus and it's not nice, there's a good meal awaiting me, but I don't understand that I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of participating in the yom. There is no additional thought that I have to connect to the mitzvah. That is correct. Correct? You know. So therefore, this issue, Rabotai, as to whether mitzvot srichot or mitzvot ein srichot havana has not been resolved. Well, it happens to go through our shop that way. It's unresolved. Now we're going to read two Rambams. This is one of the 150 things you must know in order to fool everybody. You know one of these things? We have 149 left. And I must have told you at least 50 of them already. So you're on your way. And you don't need anybody. They'll think you're the biggest genius on the planet. The biggest genius on the planet. Oh my, trust me. Okay? Here you're going to have an issue where a Rambam will say things which apparently are contradictory. The Rambam himself. One would have expected that the Rambam, once in all of his magnet opus, the title would say, Mitzvot Shrichot Kavanah, or Mitzvot Ein Shrichot Kavanah. He never says anything of the sort. He gives two illustrations, and the illustrations are contradictory. Let's read Perek Vav, Hilchot Chametzu Matzah, that's the third page on your sheet, Halacha Gimel. Teres Bob, so the Kamei Tumasa, Halacha Gimel. Okay? Listen to this case. Ochal Matzah Belo Kavanah. Somebody ate Matzah without having any intention to fulfill the mitzvah at all. Says the Rambam, I'll show you how. Kidol, Sha'an Suhu Akum. A Gentile came, took a piece of matzah, crushed it up, went over to you, squeezed your nose, and you opened up your mouth, and he shoved down a tzaddik to matzah down your throat. Did he need a tzaddik to matzah? Yes, he did. Did he have any kavanah? Did he know what it is? Absolutely not. He would have preferred not to do such a thing. Question is, has he fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah or not? What does the Rambam say? Yes, sir. Yidecho batam. Good. So if this were the only Rambam that I would ever read, I would now conclude that what is the Rambam's position concerning this vote? Ein Shlicho Kavana. Ein Shlicho Kavana. Very simple. Can't get any clearer message than that, Rambam. That's what happens if you stop in Hilchos Chometz Maaseh. Now you go to the next page,
and the Rambam comes to Hilchos Shofar. Okay. This is Perek Tet of Hilchos Shofar Halacha Daled. So the Rambam says, take a look at, you don't need the beginning, but it's okay, it's fine also. Hamit'aten v'tkiyat shofar l'hitlamein lo yasari deko vatay. Somebody is practicing. Right?
He's blowing shofar just to practice.
Or teaching somebody how to learn how to blow shofar. So, did I actually blow what the required notes?
I blew tears, burn, tears, 3 times.
Tears, 2 of the tears, 9 times. And I just blew every single note, because I'm illustrating to this guy how to blow. Or, I heard from somebody else. Somebody standing on the side. This guy is practicing, and I'm listening to him blow shofar.
Says the Rambam, Lo yasari dechovato.
Neither of them. There's Rambam. Now the Rambam will be first. Mitkaven shomea lasek yidei chovatot. Velo mitkaven hatokea lahoshio. That if a person who wants heard the shofar had it going to be yotzei, but the person who's blowing didn't know that this guy wanted to be yotzei, or
but if or the Baal Tokeya had in mind to be Motzi,
if you weren't, you didn't have in mind to be Yotzei, lo yasai dechovato.
So here's the case.
You have somebody who is not buying a ticket to the Rosh Hashanah here carefully,
and he walks by the shul, and he hears the Baal Tokeya blowing.
Okay?
But he just hears. Did he have in mind to be out to the Mitzvah Shofar? Probably not. He's on his way to a movie. Was he on the way? Was he have in mind to be out to stop?
The Baal Tokeya has in mind to be out today. Anybody listening.
Okay, well, yes, that is listening on the ocean. But the guy who walked by was on his way with the movie, and he said, all right. Yeah, I remember my grandfather took me to school about the son. I'm going to stand there and listen.
There's no, not in mind. No intention to be able to do this.
So if this were the only Rambam that you would read, what would you conclude, ladies and ladies? What's the Rambam's position?
This book, we call it Kavanah.
But now we're going to see what's the difference.
So now, let's see which one is the rule and which is the exception. So I'm going to ask you now, and you can't go wrong, because the resolution of this Rambam is in itself a machlokes.
As to which Rambam is the rule and which is the exception, it's going to be a machlokes between the Rani, one of the Rishonim, and Rav Chaim. Okay, so let me give you the Ran first. The Ran believes that the rule is the Chok Shofar. That you're not yotzei any mitzvah unless you have kavana. Any mitzvah unless you have kavana.
Well, the Hilchos Shofar is the rule, so what's now the exception?
Master's the exception. So the Ram says, I'm going to tell you why eating is an exception. Only mitzvot of eating are exceptions. So mitzvot which are eating, you don't have to have kavanah. And it's a two-step process to prove.
Listen carefully.
I'm going to give you an illustration, Rabotai, of a case in Hilchot Shabbat, which illustrates an important principle. It might be related to this connection as well, but whether it is or not, it's not significant. Here is the case. I'm going to be talking about the prohibition of kosher, of ripping something that's growing from the ground. Okay?
Tell me what I am. I know it's Shabbos. I know you're not allowed to pluck a tomato, and I pluck the tomato out. How do you call such a person? Amazing. If there are two witnesses who warn me, I get the death penalty.
Next case. I go over to my backyard, my tomatoes are growing. I forgot that it was Shabbos. Well, I know that it's Shabbos, but I forgot that you're not allowed to pluck tomatoes on Shabbos. What do you call me?
Okay.
What happens under those circumstances? You bring a korban chatos.
That's when you bring a korban chatos. A chogeg brings a korban chatos. Now comes this case. I went out Friday afternoon and I cut all the tomatoes except one. I thought I cut all of them. I bend down, because I like my chopped liver with tomatoes, I bend down thinking that I'm going to be taking off the ground a tomato that was already cut. And I wound up plucking a tomato that was attached to the ground. What's my status? A mitzase. Mitzase, mem tov, ayin, samachot, is when you think you're doing a perfectly permissible activity and you wound up doing only a prohibited activity. That's the case of mitzase. You thought you were doing something permissible and it turns out you were doing something that's prohibited. I thought I was going to take the tomato that was already cut. I wound up plucking the tomato. Mitzase has no liability whatsoever. I don't get sold, of course. I don't even have to bring home cover. Because my intention was not to be mechal shabbos. I had no intention of being mechal shabbos. I thought I was going to do something that was perfectly permissible. So if I thought I was going to do something perfectly permissible, God is not punishing me for doing something like that. I'm not going to there was no intent, there was no violation on life. It wound up that I did something, which is terrible. But it's like, it would be very simple if somebody pushed me in the backyard, and by pushing you, I left off the tomato. That's not my control. I didn't want to be Mechal Shabbos. I didn't want to be Mechal Shabbos either. So then I intended to pluck it, but I didn't know it did not allow it. I intended to pluck it, and I knew it was attacked, but I forgot that it was found. Yes. That my cup, what was my intention to do? If I showed it, my intention was to do an action which constitutes Chilul Shabbos. But I forgot that it was Shabbos. I forgot that this action is prohibited. So we're going to make the vision called Chata if you don't have such things. In this case, I didn't forget anything. I knew that it was Shabbos. I knew that you're not allowed to pluck. And I didn't think I was plucking. I took a tomato thinking that it was already detached and I wound up eating it. I mean plucking. So the rule b'chol ha-Torah kula is that a mitzase is patur. Does not, no liability whatsoever. The exception is a chalavim. A chalav. Here is the case. I'm going to do the same three things. I have a piece of meat with fat on it, which is 100% prohibited according to Torah law.
certain facts, right? The butcher who knows how to approach slavery gets rid of the fact, I'm not slavering anything. I slaughter the animal, I cut off the animal, from the cut off the piece of meat, and I'm going to eat chalet. Knowing that it's chalet. What is that?
No.
That's amazing. I did it deliberately. I knew it was kosher, and I'm doing it anyway. I did chalet. It's chalet, eating chalet. Case number two. I know I'm eating chalet, but I forgot that there was such a prohibition. I forgot the pasuk in Parshas Tzav, kol chele v'chol dam mosuchet. I thought you were allowed to eat that. What am I? Shogeg. What I have to do? Then you call them chas. Case number three. There are certain parts of fat that you're allowed to eat. Everyone has eaten a piece of meat with some fat on it, right? Don't you think you should be too sad? Do you feel sad? I don't eat this meat. It's so fatty. We all heard that argument. Certain parts of the fat, you know, that part of the fat is called shuman. Permissible fat. Good. I now have a slice of meat with some fat in it. I think that what type of fat is it? Shuman. And it wound up to be chela. Based on our parallel level time, what should have been the day? And I should be what? Patur. But the halacha is, I'm fine.
The halacha is what?
I have to be from chata. Why? She came there, because I had that. I had a wonderful piece of meat. But that's a good question. It's a good question. What? I had a good tomato also with it. It's a good question. But Hana'ah here, the Gemara says, it's only when it's actual, the Hana'ah is physical through the Aveva. Here, the Hana'ah is incidental. I cut the tomato, so the Hana'ah is not in the cutting. The Hana'ah is in what? The eating. That's what the Gemara says. That eating is an exception to the rule. Eating is an exception to the rule. That even though under normal circumstances, let's listen to the principle. If you don't have kavana to violate, you are called a misase. If you don't have kavana to do the action, you are a misase. And you're patur. Except by food. Therefore says the Ran, that's running through the Rambam's mind as well. What happened in the case of the food of the matzah? Did I have any intention to eat matzah? No. Somebody crushed a piece of matzah, shoved it down my throat. Says the Ram. You know why on Yotzei the mitzvah there? It's the eating. You don't have kavanah to be violated, as I just did with the chela. And you don't have to have kavanah to what? To be open. Because you had the benefit of eating a desired tamar. Just as in the reverse case, I had the benefit of eating a piece of meat, which now makes me liable for a carbon kato, even though I didn't intend to what? To eat the prohibited fat. Here too. Even though I had no intention in the world to be Mekayim in the Master, Myth of Master, I'm not a Jew, I'm not a full Jew, I'm not at a Seder, I'm sitting there, my feet are propped up on my chair watching ESPN, exactly, I'm watching ESPN, and this God comes in and stops the design there, I'm going to get credit in the world to come that I didn't get Mekayim the Master. Why? Because the eating, apparently, you don't need kavanah. How does he establish that rule? From the other halacha of Misase. That for eating, you are held accountable even though you did not intend to eat the prohibited food. The mere fact that you ate it, it generates a chiyuv. Therefore, says the Rambam,
the Rambam believes that every mitzvah in the Torah needs kavanah, with the exception of mitzvahs of food. Because we just go. Because there is such a principle on the other side, that since you are deriving benefits, physical benefits from it, we now consider it, it's a good question. And now have kavanah. Correct. What the Ram is not trying to do is explain the reason. What he's trying to do is explain the Rambam. Because the Rambam deviated from his rule. The rule is you have to have kavanah, as it's illustrated in the cultural block. So your question is a good one. But I don't have to answer it. All I have to do is explain why did the Rambam say what he did. Answers the Ram, I found a parallel for it. I found a logical halakhic application. That's the Ram's approach. The Ram, as you well know, is an Ashkenazic scholar, Sephardic scholar, in the mold of in one of the students of the Rambam, the Rashba's own people, in the 13th century. And no one offered anything else until Rav Chaim. Until Rav Chaim, late 19th, earliest 20th century, Chaim says, I disagree with the Rav. The rule of thumb is Hilchot Matna. That's the rule. So that's the rule. What is now the rule concerning mitzvot, tzrichot, or any tzrichot? What's the answer, Rabotai? Mitzvot, any tzrichot, kavanah. Now what burden do we have? The burden we have is explaining why the Rambam said, by so far, you have to have kavanah. Says Rav Chaim, I'll tell you what it is. If by so far, you're not doing the action of the mitzvah yourself. Says Rav Chaim, whenever a person does his own or her own pi'ulat ha-mitzvah, whenever you're doing an action, you get credit for that mitzvah. You know why? Because unless you're doing God's will, you would be nuts for doing this in the first place. Why would anybody, think of any mitzvah, why would anybody take a ruler on the 15th of the month of Tishrei, unless God says, why would I put on straps every single day? Why would I do something unless God said so? Why would I eat a korban pesach? Why would I put on tzitzit? Why would you do any mitzvah? Why would you tzitzit Friday night unless God said so? But listen carefully. If you want to be mekayim the mitzvah by being passive, by listening to someone else do the mitzvah, then we are not going to give you credit for fulfilling a mitzvah by you sitting where? You sitting where? On your lounge chair with your feet propped up watching the ESPN and this guy doing all the action. If you want to connect yourself to the person doing the mitzvah, it's got to be a link. How do you create the link? The person doing the mitzvah has in mind to discard you, and you connect yourself to him or to her by having in mind to be your say the mitzvah. Therefore, here is an interesting thing which happens every single week. Every week, Kiddush. The person who is making Kiddush, okay? Say a radical home, okay? A radical home. Anybody here a radical one where the wife makes the Kiddush on Friday night? No? No radical? Okay. Let's assume you have a radical home. So the wife's making Kiddush Friday night. She doesn't have to have any kavanah for herself. Is she saying the words? Since the person is making Kiddush for him or herself alone, they don't need any kavanah.
they want to be yotzei somebody else. Somebody who's doing nothing, not picking up a cup, not saying a bloody word. That person who now is to be mostly somebody else, says the Rambam, Ati Yisavin Shomea Umashmiya. So when I blow shofar for myself, I don't have any kavanah, because I'm doing a mitzvah for myself. But if I'm the Baal Shekeinah, and I'm blowing for an entire shul, and they're doing nothing, they're not holding the shofar, they're not blowing their guts out. In order for me to be connected to them, and in order for them to be connected to me, I need kavanah. Therefore, says Rav Chaim, I believe that eating is no different. I don't believe eating is any different than everything. I believe that the Rambam of the mitzvah of eating is the example, is the rule. Mitzvot never needs kavanah. Never. Why does the Rambam say by shofar you need? Because the Rambam knows that not every Tom, Dick, and Harry is going to blow shofar. He knows that. There's usually going to be one guy and everybody else listening. So in order to connect you, the listener, sitting there passively, feet propped up, watching ESPN, to be the tie in the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah, see a shofar? I have to in mind to be able to do that. So according to Rav Chaim, you look at each individual mitzvah and you ask yourself, am I doing the mitzvah myself? By doing the action of the mitzvah, you don't need any kavanah. And I believe that Rav Chaim is right, because as I said, it's not for the fact that God asked you to do this mitzvah, why would anybody be doing such a silly thing? Is that one mitzvah I say, if you and me can say it's really logical, that we would be doing this at this time without having been directed so by God? I can't think of a positive thing that I would have done without being told to do so by our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when you do the action, it's quite obvious that what is the reason why I'm doing it? Because God said so. If I'm standing here like a clock, not doing anything. What now demonstrates that I plan on getting credit? The fact that I have kavanah. So what emerges now, Rabotai, what emerges now is the following. The Gemara did not clinch the issue. The Gemara thought that our Mishnah would be able to clinch it, because it said empty vain revolt. So the Gemara thought, oh, this is great. I'm going to clinch it. Mitzvot Shlichot Kavanah. Gemara said, no. The word Tivein doesn't have to mean to have in your to be your sitting in the Tivein can mean what? To read. Having one to read. In which case, there is no resolution in the Talmud as yet whether Mitzvot Shlichot or Mitzvot Ein Shlichot. We then looked at a Rambam looking for our Rabbeinu Moshe master for some gum. Unfortunately, and I'm going to ask the Rambam, one of my top questions when I see him, Rabbeinu Moshe, before he got the place of a chamber, why did you write the first mitzvah that you came across? Which is Hokus Pitts. Okay, Hokus Pitts. Why did you tell me, Mr. Shrika Savan, Mr. Zed, why did you tell me? Where's the place that he's for? But he did. He gives an illustration by Masna, and he says you don't have to have Kavanah. He gives an illustration by Shofar, you do have to have Kavanah. You know what's going on here. So Ran says, the rule of thumb is Shofar Shofar. Every mitzvah must have Kavanah. The only exceptions are mitzvot of food. Where did somebody come up with such a thing that food is different? He found an analogy, a parallel, in the halakha of Misafir. That when you are held account normally, if you intend to do something permissible, and you wind up doing something prohibited, you're normally not held accountable. I gave you the illustration with the Shabbos stuff. I intended to do nothing prohibited. And I wound up doing something, everything prohibited. Normally I'm exempt, except when it comes to food. To food.
I thought I was eating, let's say something else with it, an Easter curry, okay? But I thought that it was, I thought the product was kosher l'Pesach.
Right? It said kosher l'Pesach on it. And what did it turn out? It was chametz. I have to be called chametz.
Why? She came in. Because even though I didn't intend to violate the prohibition, nonetheless, I had a lot of hanor when I ate the chametz on Pesach. Therefore, we see that my food, the hanor, compensates for the kavanah. The hanor compensates for the lack of kavanah.
So too, says the Ran here.
The hanor that this Jew had by having the desires of matzah shoved down his throat, that hanor, that so much benefit that he enjoys, compensates for the lack of kavanah for the yotzei b'nefesh. Yeah.
There's hanor,
so
there's hanor. Where you're having
hana
is, you're
going to
get better from it.
So? What about it?
Consider hana, that's
the same
thing. Where
your
Bible is in.
What's it? Well, what's it? You eat something
that. Against trade.
A medicine. Okay. So by medicine is a stipulation. We will never prosecute you for eating non-kosher medicine. No. Why? Because for eating to be held, to be prosecuted, you have to do something what's called sederach achilah. People don't pop pills because that's not the way people eat. Well, that's an issue. That's a question.
Oh, we don't get matzah.
But it is. The way you do so is
to...
What did you do? You took a desire to matzah and you ate it. So it's a good question. Is that... I just exaggerated a little. So let's assume he didn't crush it up, he put it in your mouth with a gun. He said, go ahead and swallow that. You know, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, different
But that's not a style of the Rambam. The Rambam's a code. Either you have to do something, or you don't have to do something. And he's not concerned normalism. If you don't have to do it, you're going to be a little lax. If you do have to do it and you don't, you need to go. No, but it's technically you want to tie in the mitzvah or not. Now, I have to just to complete it, so that you should really know, yeah.
I think you want to say there's something else that comes from the in the
correct, that's my next one. Correct. That's the other exception. Yes, he does. That's correct. I told you only one exception. Food. There really is a second exception a la yod. That's correct. The second exception. That if somebody went to bed thinking that the lady was his wife, and it turned out to be his sister, his mother, or anybody else, he thought that he was having relations with his wife. Turned out to be somebody else. According to the principle, what should have happened then of Masafis? He didn't intend to violate. But the bottom line is, he did what he had hanor, he's held accountable. He brings the kol chatzis. He does not get skewed, nothing gets killed. Because it was not done with intent. So the way to know it, just if you want to walk into the yeshiva gedolim, right away, walk into the wine based message. Say the words. Say the words right. It's called mitzaseh. b'chalovim, chelev, v'arayim. Mitase, chalovim, v'arayim.
Those are the only exceptions.
And the Rav uses the chalovim to explain the Rambam here. This is world-class Torah about Shitas HaRambam, whether mitzvot, shlichos, kavana or not.
What? I don't know. You're right. There could have been other forms of Hanah. I don't know.
That's what the Gemara says already. The Rambam is just using the Gemara to explain the Rambam. That's not trying to justify the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says.
Yes. So I want everybody to go home tonight and test your little hubby. What's the Rambam mitzvah kavana? Tully will know this one. He knows this one. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here.